here from the Rock Music Podcast. It's Cristiano Aguirre. How are you, sir?
Okay.
Okay, so we decided, you know, we're both fans of big, heavy 80s rock and metal bands. So it's like, how about we take on Living Color, which was formed by Corey Glover and Vernon Reid. How influential they were.
Yes.
So
that's a band I really like too much, because that was one of the first bands, rock bands, I met when I was a kid. So I can say they have a big influence in my rock.
Yeah, I think they were pretty influential to many. I had no idea that Corey, all these years, was one of the supporting soldiers in the movie Platoon. He did some brief acting there occasionally, but for fun. But yeah, I think AllMusic summed it up pretty good. They unite classic rock in the tradition of Jimi Hendrix while inserting punk and flavor and the spirit of R&B and jazz. And it's like, yeah, because... Yeah, if you heard him from afar, you could have sworn it was someone like maybe a Stevie Ray Vaughan kind of band. And then he's like, you start listening in closer. He's like, yeah, but there's some other pop and not rap, but definitely R&B. And it's just wild how you listen to some of their songs. And it's like they're sampling, you know, actual speeches by politicians and other big political and social figures. So it's like it is a pretty influential band, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. beginning with the biggest music of them, that I think Cult of Personality, that won a Grammy Award for the best hard rock performance. This song is really remarkable for me, because not for just the band, but also for us, because it comes from a psychological phenomenon called a cult of personality or a cult of leader. This means a result of an effort which is made to create idealized and heroic image of a leader by a government, often through unquestioning, threatening praise. So politically, that's the song is remarkable, because today we still see the things they talked about in the 90s, in the 80s. That's really remarkable.
Yeah, I definitely feel like, you know, their messages come across pretty loud and clear, especially the other tracks, Open Letter to a Landlord and Funny Vibe. But it is wild how you would have thought they would have been on the same path, but they were trying out so much different stuff that after a while, that's why they deformed in 1995. But yeah, there's a lot of bangers. There's a lot of great tunes from them. I like other songs by them, like Flying, Song Without Sin, Operation Mind Control, is Tomorrow Never Knows, and Burn Bridges, Freedom of Expression, FOX, you know, so there's some more minor fun ones like Inner City Blues and Preaching Blues and even The Very Blunt, Who Shot Ya. But yeah, they're interesting in that, like you say, they don't leave any stone unhinged, really. And even just other tunes like Nothingness, Fight the Fight, and Elvis is Dead, and Love Rears Its Ugly Head, I think are good examples of how they kind of open up a dialogue with misconceptions. I don't want to say necessarily conspiracy theories, but just other hard to talk about material. And it's interesting how Vernon Reid had also recorded with Defunct and Public Enemy and did a solo album. So it's just all very, very just talented guys who are very inspired. A lot of them claim that they're very inspired by Sly and the Family Stone and Santana, obviously Jimi Hendrix, but yeah, Carlos Santana makes sense definitely, because there is some of that just putting on a big show and then letting out all these various thoughts, some of them angry, some of them poetic, some of them just emotional, and I can see why they're just always putting on a big show now. So I'm kind of glad they kind of get back together on occasion and still perform.
Yes. The third single of them, Glamour Boys, también, I think it's a nice music. You can realize I just remember the music that was nominated for a Grammy or for the good performance that the band about the band, because that's the high point for me. When I first met the first listened to this band, I was just a little kid, so the lyrics for me was not the biggest thing. But today that I'm grown, I think the lyrics from them is very, very good. Very, they send really a message for everybody. But what I think it's very, very specific, very nice from them is the sound, the solos. In this Glamour Boys music, the theme is interesting in the chorus, because they shout, "I ain't no glamour boy, I'm fierce." So I think the band send really a message, not only the lyrics, but the solos and the melody.
Good way to put it, because it is very organized. You never feel like you're missing something, you know?
Yes.
And
that's a pity that they just recorded six albums, studio albums, because I think they could be recording more, because they're really good.
Totally. I didn't feel lost even just re-listening to some of their tunes recently. I feel like they're just pretty much set for life. And definitely an influential band. I will see occasionally some minorities who don't even know about them. I'm like, you're kidding. They're a great band. And don't get me wrong, I see plenty of other whites who don't mention them as well. I'm like, no, your list is automatically incorrect if you don't have them on here, because they're very intriguing. And just, again, they put on a hell of a show every song. Have you ever been tempted to see them in person again?
Did you ever see a show in person of them? I never did that. I never get to.
No, I have yet to, but if I ever see them come back around, I that would be a delight. I would definitely make time for it. Since,
you know, here in Brazil, it's a big difficulty for me to see these bands alive, because even this Living Color, I don't know if they already came here to Brazil, but the price is very expensive.
How I imagine.
Yeah, I live in a small city here in Minas Gerais, so the biggest bands always goes to São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro. So when I'm far from these places, it's very hard for me to get there at first. But when you talk about the price of the shows, it's more difficult. But I wish I could go to one of these shows.
Yeah, And it was cool that some of their music got to even be played in some big movies, including the 1993 thriller Judgment Night. But yeah, I mean, they even had an experimental album, which I'm not sure if I heard. I probably did, but that was back around 03. And then in 06, they did their Best Of. And it's just interesting how they maintained a pretty low profile. And then back around 2014 that they started getting back together, doing some more musical projects and touring again. So kudos to them, because there's so many others who, you know, become notorious for either being unpleasant or, you know, they don't want to get back together. They're just, their personalities evolved. In this case, the cult of personality is like, they understood each other, but then when it was time, you know, it was time. So, but it was interesting how, yeah, they just kind of kept it going for a good while. And then, you know, even though some of their albums, I think it was Stain back in 93, it didn't sell as well, but it still had lots of airplay and acclaim. So again, kudos to them, because there's just so many others who they just can't keep it going. And I'm glad they were able to, you know, they're still playing and still pretty influential.
Yes. This album you mentioned, Stain, I think it's very remarkable too, because they sing a kind of funk metal, like a different kind of music. They realize it, they can, I think, do better, even better than they had been before, because the first single they released, Leave It Alone, in 1993, I think it's a change. I don't know if you mean what I can say, because I noticed a difference between the albums they released before they split out and after they come together again. But I think if they could mix the music, so the kind of music, I think they can continue recording this music, and when they come to Brazil, if they once think about it, I think it's a really huge success.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too.
If you understand what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. I definitely see that they're pretty active on Facebook, their page at least, and showing tour dates. So last I checked, I think they do tour overseas, so they may very well perform in Brazil or even maybe London. But I'll check back on their account. But I would like to think that, you know, there's many bands that will tour, and I think I don't think they would put it out of the equation. I think they would definitely be interested in doing something like that. So
yeah, I still know this band, because that was a part of this soundtrack of some video games I used to play when I was younger. Then the first song I ever heard about it, this band in a game was Cult of Personality, because I used to play Grand Theft Auto, and their song was there. But this band is very special, because my father used to listen only to samba, he would like to me to listen to this just like him. But this band was one of the first bands I ever listened to, and this especially this band was responsible for me to meet heavy metal and rock and roll. And I think it's very important because I don't know if samba is very good to hear. I think I'm Brazilian, but I don't like it very much. my father was disappointed. My mother didn't like heavy metal. She told me to not to listen to this because it's not good to the kids. It's a bad influence.
Yeah, back when it was considered satanic music or whatever, just because some bands used labels like that, when really they were just often just kind of like Alice Cooper, they were just using horror images in the or painting a portrait with their lyrics, and that was a turnoff, even though it wasn't necessarily, you know, praising or even condemning Satan. It's just showing a vision of hell like Dante's Inferno. But I know what you mean. It is interesting how there's plenty of other bands that perform all the time, and even though people lived during it, they only heard it if it was on the radio. They weren't paying attention to who wrote or sang what. But yeah, that's cool that they were on a video game and had some other big public appearances and albums that they were featured on. They're just, again, just great bangers. Great songs and vibrant energy.
Yes, I was telling you this story because if I don't have met this band or other bands that at the 70s and the 80s, I think I would not be able to know what real music is. I think.
Yeah.
Hard rock and roll and heavy metal and all the kind of rock that came before and after this band, I think this is the real music. You know, here in Brazil, that's a thing that the a few people likes rock and roll. It's hard for me to talk to people. That to find people that likes rock and roll because they are they like funky, they like hip hop, rap, but rock and roll, it's been hard for me to find
people. It's not as big there. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Huh?
And I've actually never heard anyone even diss them or say this band was overrated. So that's a rarity too. Usually almost every other person gets, you know, hate mail or, you know, put on an overrated, overhyped list because one person only likes one single by them. But yeah, I've never seen them listed as, you know, overhyped, overrated. So that's cool.
You know, if you let me, I just wanted to tell you, a small story about the rock and roll because my mom I had a neighbor that used to walk like the real rock and rolls, long hair, Iron Maiden t-shirts,
nice
chains all over the body. My mother just say every day that I shouldn't walk with them because they were satanic or something. She said me, I have never listened to this kind of music because it's a cult of Satan. But a few years later, I knew music from Living Color. I don't remember if it was Cult of Personality or what music it was. But good to her to listen without saying what band it was and what the lyric was about. She liked it. She liked it. And when I told her it was her rock and roll or heavy metal, she just, well, they're not satanic.
Right.
very good music. I said to her, you see, you're misunderstood. This is not a satanic. Not every bands among rock and roll are satanic. Or it's
not everything is who you think it is.
Yeah, not everything you think it is. So from this day to now, she never told me anymore anything about rock and roll. I can listen. I can dress like rock and roll t-shirts. She never said anything to me anymore. That's remarkable for me because people have in mind something it's not true before they know what it really is.
They like to have the media detail it for them, even if they're not familiar with this thing, or they still is like, you got to do some review and actually see it, you know, to review it in line with what other people are saying.
That's true.
But yeah, research, what's that? Well, this has been very cool to cover a lot of these subjects. So your podcast is coming up. Are you going to be on Spotify and Podbean and Anchor, other platforms?
Yeah, I think I'll begin with Spotify because here in Brazil, the Spotify and I think Apple, it's the more heard platforms. But my intention is to improve my English, to record something in English too, because I think America is has a great public to talk about rock and roll, and here in Brazil I will have this difficult. But I will start with Spotify, maybe other streamings too.
Okay, very, very, very cool. Thank you ever so much for being on here.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.